Welcome to the Ask John Call-In Day. This is an open question and answer session where you can call in and speak to me directly or simply listen live on the audio player on the webpage. If you've called in and have questions, press 1 to raise your hand. If you're listening on the audio player on the webpage, you'll see a box where you can type in questions. Feel free to enter your questions there as well. These sessions are all about you, and this is your opportunity to call in and speak to me live, and let me work with you to help you solve your weight loss problems forever. So if you've got something you want to talk about, please give us a call.
Okay, hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. So for a lot of you, this is the fifth and sixth month of the case study, and it's winding down. We did send out a video recently just letting you know if you wanted to continue either with coaching or the support group, that there are resources available for you at a very reasonable rate if you want to continue, and if you do continue, you'll also be able to talk to me by my office hours. So if you didn't get that email, let me know. Also, if you have any questions now, you can press 1 and I can talk to you. There's been a lot of questions that we're still catching up with from that whole webinar series that we did, and I'm going to bring Shannon in for a minute in a second to talk about that. Also, we have Coach Schmieder here to talk about what's happening on her side of the world. But I also want to announce that I'm very excited today because I just finished the first draft of my Gabriel Method for Kids book, that is for a parenting book, for how to apply the Gabriel Method to kids, which would be basically a very holistic, as you know, approach rather than restriction and forcing it to eat less to try to identify what some of the fat triggers are, some of the mental and emotional considerations, digestion, learning how to nourish their body better. We include some visualizations for kids. And I'd love to hear any feedback that you have, if you've had any experience with your kids, or if you'd like to listen to or have your kid listen to some of the visualizations that we're making for kids, let me know too. I'd love to get your feedback. So let's just bring Coach Smita in. And just actually, before we bring Coach Smita in, there's a lady here I'd like to speak to named Carrie, who is in the case study, and I believe she has had some success with the Gabriel Method for Kids. Her name is actually Kelly, not Carrie. I apologize for that. But anyway, I'll bring her in. And we can talk to her. I believe this is the one that Coach Maryland was telling me about, where she's had some really good successes with her kids. So let's bring Kelly in and let's have a quick chat with her if we can.
Hi, John.
Is it Kelly or Carrie, first of all?
Carrie.
I apologize for that. Okay, yes. Carrie. That's what I thought it was. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. Tell me a little bit about what's happening.
Well, my eldest son has autism and Klinefelter syndrome, and one of the spin-offs has always been that he's constantly hungry. And since doing the case study, we're in month 5 now, his 30 to 40 times a day of saying, I'm hungry, and it was like an incessant tap dripping, diminished to once just before dinner. He'll say, oh, what's for dinner, Mum? I'm a bit hungry. And we've actually started to hear in the past 2 weeks, no thanks, I'm full, which
wow.
is amazing because he's 16 and he's been doing it probably since he was 4. So.
Wow. So did he have a weight problem?
No, big boy. He stands 6'10", and
6'10".
He was about We're still seeing a pediatrician, so you can imagine how that is in the waiting room.
Six foot ten and hungry all the time. That sounds like a very expensive proposition to me.
Oh, he was hungry all the time, John. I couldn't fill him up. He would have 15 Weet-Bix in the morning.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
So,
from a weight perspective, did he have a problem with excess weight?
Yes, he did. A lot around his belly and his butt and his thighs, you know, but he never looked, he was never what you'd call a fat kid, he just heavy, you know. And
no.
Now
yeah.
Even the doctor is saying, oh, you've trimmed down, you know, so
okay.
They think he's lost about 5 kilos and he's gained since we've been on this.
5 kilos in the midst of growing.
Yeah, well, he grew 1.5 centimeters. He lost 5 kilos, so yeah. Hello? Uh-oh. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Am I back on? Okay, I think I'm back on. We had a technical problem. Somehow the line just disconnected and I had to call back in. So can we get Curry back in?
Hello?
Hey, Curry. I'm really sorry about that. Thank you so much for holding on. I don't know what happened. The line
Gremlin.
Just died all of a sudden. So, thanks very much for holding on. So getting back. So he's lost about 5 kilos, but the thing is, he's just not hungry anymore, which I think is unbelievable. So, do you have any idea, like what was different? What's been different in his diet or his discipline or routine that's changed that you think might have caused that?
Well, we, following your thing, we got rid of all sugars. But not all.
Okay.
We turn to xylitol, change it over to xylitol, and every now and then I'll make a loaf of banana bread and just make it with xylitol, you know. So haven't taken everything out of his diet, but most of the nasties. And I can tell when he's, like, if he's gone out on the weekend with the respite people, because we get a little bit of respite on weekends, and if he's had junk food, he'll come back and he'll be hungry. So it's just... It's driven by the bad food.
Well, now, typically I've found with autistic kids, the types of foods that cause problems are gluten and dairy. They're the ones that they find overwork the immune system and then cause the problems. So there's a foundation in Sydney called the Mind Foundation, and there's two Ds, MINDD. It's an acronym for something. But they treat autism in a very holistic way through reducing stress and improving digestion and cutting out entirely dairy and gluten. Those are like the two big no-nos. So obviously,
okay.
I'm guessing you must have done something like that when you say the nasties. Like, what are the nasties that you cut out?
He used to have a lot of cakes and biscuits and things like that, you know, and they're gone.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things are gone. So most
yeah.
wheat is gone. Now
he
has wraps. I mean, I know there's still wheat, but they're much less than
big
slices of bread. And
right.
So, yeah, a lot different. Lots of salad now, and he craves fruit, and I have to limit his fruit, but it's still better than what he used to eat, you know.
Oh, no, that's great. No, that's really, really good. I'm wondering, have you done anything with probiotics or to improve his digestion? Because that'll go a long way. For example, if you get to... Go ahead.
I've got him on the flax seed oil capsules, but I haven't,
That's going to have a huge, huge effect for him, because that oil is a really healthy fat that your brain needs for proper functioning. And so he's making new brain cells that are being coated with a really good fat, and that's going to really help stabilize.
His teacher, his head of curriculum teacher, told me today that he's making much more adult choices, so that could have something to do with your plan too. You know,
great. Well, certainly the flax oil would help a lot. But I would get some sort of powdered probiotic, or it can even come in a capsule if it's powder, and then put it in a smoothie or in a cereal or whatever kind of liquid type of thing, because it doesn't really have a taste. It's just a powder. You put it in.
Okay.
You put it in as food. If it's cold food, it's going to help a lot. And again, I would find alternatives to dairy, just and gluten. So any type of wraps that you're doing, if you can make it without gluten, any type of milk type things, better to do nut milks, like almond milk or something like that.
Yeah, well,
That's great, though.
My daughter and I have been having the almond milk, and I quite like it, so.
Yeah, good. I'm really happy. That's just super news. I'd love to keep, you know, I'd love for you to keep us posted.
Well, I'll see you in Kiama. My daughter and I are coming.
Oh, okay. Is your son coming?
No.
I'll get to meet him.
It's too much of a change to his routine. Otherwise, I would.
Sure, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay. Well, when I see you in Kiama, definitely come up and introduce yourself. I would love to meet you. Okay?
I will. Thanks for everything you do, John. It's wonderful.
No, my pleasure. All right, so I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, then. See you there.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Take care. Bye. Okay, really cool. You know, and I remember also in the last, one of the last, more recent group calls, there was a Michael from Oregon who was talking about how his 13-year-old has been losing weight and is calmer and more focused. So we're starting to get more and more stories like this. And I just got a text from a friend of mine who's he's the nephew of a friend of mine. He's about 20 years old. And this kid has been struggling with weight his whole life. And I remember at 13, he had a really, really serious weight problem. And he's unrecognizable now at 20. He looks like an absolute Greek god. He's all his weight's gone. He's been lifting weights and detoxing, and just looks absolutely amazing. We're about to do a video interview with him. And so we're getting a lot more stories about successes with young adults, kids, teenagers, and it fits in really nicely with the work that we're doing now with this new book. So this new book is going to be out probably in about 6 months. I'm very excited about it. So, and if you've got any other stories that you want to share about your family and your kids, I'd love to hear it. But let's bring Coach Smita in and just have a quick chat with her and see how things are going.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi. Great. How are you, Smita?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Hello to everyone on the call. Really good story from Kerry. That's amazing.
Isn't it? Really good.
Yeah, fantastic.
I love to hear the incidental success that happens in the family and also just in other areas of health and even in relationships and businesses. Just you hear these kind of ripple effect stories, and I just really like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I think one of my other clients, she's seeing changes in her kids. They have Asperger's. So I mentioned to her about Kerry's story from our last coach's call, and she was also mentioned that there have been improvements in their behaviour as a result of eating more Gabriel Method-friendly foods.
Yeah. No, I'd love to speak to them also if she wants to have a chat, maybe on the next call.
Yeah, sure.
I'd love to talk to her.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, and I know you had some other people that you wanted to bring into some future calls. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about them and, you know, how people are going in general.
Yeah, so, I've had about 6 people graduate so far from that have reached their month 6, and I think I'd say most of them are going on to do the support group. Some will continue with coaching calls as and when they feel they need it. And most of them have had some weight loss, that like varying amounts, some not much, but they've had a transformation in some way or another. They're feeling better, they're eating a lot better, or they've made some choices to do more things that they're passionate about or things that they enjoy, which has made a greater impact to their everyday life.
Right.
Yeah, and then on the other side, I've got people that are on months 4 and 5, and they're still not seeing any weight loss yet. And it's important to kind of let them know that it is going to happen, or it is happening, because I try and keep it in the present tense, because otherwise, like, keeping it in the future will always be in the future. So, what would you say to these people, John, that are, you know, that still not losing any weight, you know, got to month 4 and 5, and also, you know, a few are still gaining? If they're, I know you'd say get them to call you, but if they're reluctant to call you, what would you say to them?
Well, they have to call me. Gaining is not right. Like, if they're in month 3, month 4, they're not losing weight. That's fairly common, because it takes time, and that doesn't bother me at all. As long as I'm seeing other signs, you know, I would be looking for signs where you're not as hungry, where your blood sugar is more stable, where you're feeling more relaxed about food, and it's much easier to maintain your weight. Then I know it's just a matter of time. But if they're gaining, then there's a problem. Mm-hmm. They're doing something wrong. There's no question about it. And I don't hear that too often, by the way, Samir. So if that's happening, I can't do a whisper down the lane thing. I absolutely have to know exactly what's going on. So if that's a situation, I have to talk to them. I have to know what's, because I'm sure there's something there that's just a really a misunderstanding of how to apply what we're talking about. There's just no other way. So that's someone that I would want to talk to.
Okay.
So you do need to encourage them, regardless of how reluctant they may be. We do need to talk. But in going through this process now with several hundred people, I guess there's about 200 people that are on month 6 that I've been talking with, and month 4 and 5 typically they weren't losing weight, and now they're losing weight. So that usually is sort of a transition period for a lot of people. And you've had a lot of people with some big successes too. I know you've been. I think you were talking about it in the last coaching class.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe you could tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, so I had one guy that started in October, and he's lost, he just graduated last month, and he lost 22 kilograms and reached I think he was only 2 kilograms away from his target weight, and he just applied every single action we asked him to do. He was doing so every day. I think he had like one allergy or something to something that he was eating, but after that was sorted out, it was plain sailing for him. It was very, very easy, and he's feeling very good from it. Other lady.
Do me a favor, Smita, before you tell me the next one. Do me a favor, just make a note to let our office know, because, you know, I'd love to interview him and hear what was right, what was not right, so that we can keep refining the process. So if you could just make a note to either send me an email or Lucas or Cherie to interview this guy. Okay?
Right. Okay. Yes. You have those details, Lucas and yourself do, but I'll send it to Cherie as well. Okay.
And just copy me. Great. Yeah. And you were going to tell me about someone else?
We've had another lady who's lost about 11, 12 kilograms so far, and she's vegetarian. So she's done really well from just changing her eating habits and doing the visualizations. We've had another lady who's lost 30 kilograms since knowing about the Gabriel Method. I think you had her on the program already, Jill.
Okay.
Yeah, so that, and some have lost a little bit of weight, but they know that they're on the right track now from doing the cellular release, and it's been the kind of opener to release that weight.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah, that's great. Some have done really well, and some have only lost like a 1 or 2 kilograms, or not really lost much at all, but they are feeling a lot better in themselves, like the. From all the actions that they've been doing, they're feeling healthier and more energetic. They're feeling lighter, that kind of thing. So, and they know that the bigger weight loss is around the corner.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, that's what I'm finding. It's always like that, where there's this sort of long kind of transition period, and then you get this acceleration at the end. And that's what I'm seeing with a lot of people. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm seeing that
too. Okay, good.
Great, good. Thank you.
What else is happening? Great. Hi, well, good to talk to you.
Okay.
And all right, we'll talk soon. Take care,
Sean. All right, thanks, John.
Thanks. Okay. Let's have a quick chat with Mary Lane, please. Coach Mary Lane.
Hey, John.
Mary Lane, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So Carrie's your client, right?
Yeah, but I didn't hear the talk because I had a lot of trouble coming in. So I only heard the end of her talk. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay, but really inspiring. Just an amazing story about this. Her son, 6'10", 16 years old, was hungry all the time. And just not that hungry anymore. Yeah. He's losing weight and he's doing better at school. Really cool story.
That's beautiful. But she's such a sparkly personality.
Yeah, sounds like a really sweet lady. So, how's everything else going for you?
Well, about the same as Smita's talk, you know, which Smita told about people that are not losing much weight, but feeling great overall because they're making so many changes on other levels first. And apparently they have to, you know, those changes have to be made first before the body is able to lose the weight or something, I feel. Let me share one thing.
Yeah, before you do though, Mary Lane, that's an important point because if you're looking at weight from the outside, then there's always going to be this, you know, cut this out, cut that out. You lose a little weight and then you try to hold on to it and then you're fighting your body. But if you do want to deal with the real issues, then that's exactly what happens. Is it takes a while sometimes to address those issues. It's not a magic pill. It's the real thing. It's about solving the weight loss forever. So that's exactly what needs to happen in a lot of cases. But when it happens, it's like the best thing in the world. Like, you know, when Tracy came on a few months ago and Tracy lost 200 pounds, it took a long time, it took years, but she's not struggling at all. You know, there's no battle for her. There's no good days or bad days. She shouldn't have to worry about maintaining it. It's a done issue. So that's what happens when you address the real issues. So what were you going to tell me?
I had this client in the States, and she had very poor sight. She's almost blind, actually. But her environment doesn't really realize what a strain this is for her. So she never shared. So while talking to me at one point, she thought to herself, I'm going to tell my loved ones how hard it is for me when I go to like a party or something to be there and not able to see and how threatening it can be like, and she's not, you know, she doesn't feel happy or well when she's at a party. So she shared this, and she's so happy that she shared this because it made such a huge difference between her and her family that she shared this, and she was able to share this, and they understood, and her sister was so happy that she shared it because now she understood why she didn't want to, you know, really want to go to a party or something like that. So she was so happy about that.
Sure.
That made all the change in the world.
Sure. Beautiful.
So
cool.
And I have another client as well. Sorry. Yeah, she has made, she realized that she needed to make a lot of changes. So she decided to take a sabbatical of everything. And she wants to take time for herself and solve her issues and you know, really focus on herself. And she was always there for others. So she had this huge misunderstanding in her head that being there for others was more important than, you know, taking care of herself. So she's addressing that. Yeah.
So
I think everybody has an amazing
story. So where's she
going to
be? What's she going to do?
She was moving, actually. She wanted to stay with someone else for 3 months. So out of her own house, moving somewhere else, resigning her job, resigning from her relationship. So she was really doing everything at once. Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Takes a lot of courage.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be very exciting to see what happens. Sometimes you have to do that. And sometimes those changes are the exact changes that you have to make. You know, you're not going to be the same person afterwards. So life can be a really exciting adventure, but it's going to be very confusing. And, you know, I heard someone say once that life only makes sense. You can only connect the dots when you're looking backwards. You know, sometimes things don't make sense in the moment, but then afterwards you say, you know, it's all because I made that change, or I went to this place, or I stopped working there, and I didn't know what I was going to do. But if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have met this person, and blah, 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 and the rest is history. You hear that saying so many times, the rest is history. But we don't have the history we can see. In the future, we can't. So it becomes a very confusing thing, but sometimes those are the most important things. When you just, in an irrational or illogical way, you have to follow your heart. Those are sometimes the most important decisions that you ever make, and usually the best. So it should be exciting to see what happens.
Like me sending you a mail. If you look at my life, how it changed. Yeah, and now I'm part of this, and I feel so privileged that I'm part of, you know, such an amazing work. That's what I think it is.
Can
I just share something about my daughter, actually, because she's in puberty, she's 15, and she was gaining weight, really, so she was unhappy about her weight, and I told her, darling, don't do a diet, because she was talking about going on a diet, not eating, and all that stuff. So she listened, actually, which was quite surprising, because she doesn't want to listen to me.
It's because she's 15.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I got a 10-year-old, so I know what that's like. Yeah.
Oh, you know what it's like. So now she's taking salads to school, and in the morning, she does her breakfast, and she takes salads to school, and she doesn't really want me to buy any, like, sugary stuff or anything. She's just doing it on her own, and she's doing it so well, John. So she lost the weight easily. Yeah. Without any effort, of
Beautiful.
Course, because there wasn't any effort. Yeah, don't you love that?
Beautiful. So, that's great news. That's really good.
No.
Well, like I said, we're wanting to hear more stories. She might want to listen to the visualization that we recorded for teenagers, and if you're interested, I'll send it over to you, and you can. Although, does she speak English?
Please. Yeah, she does. She understands really well. So
Excellent.
Yeah, great. That would be great. And can I just ask you a question about your position on microwaved food, what it does to the food and what it does to the nutritional value of that?
Yeah. So it destroys it, basically. I mean, it's one of the strongest denaturing effects that you can have on food is to pass it through microwaves. It's not good to have that stuff running through your house either, but it makes it as denatured as it can get, I'd say, and so you're losing the nutrients, and because you're changing the chemical structure of it, it becomes very hard to digest it. You know, if you ever, you know, like airplane food, you know, it's got that same kind of quality where it just doesn't digest. You know, that's sort of what microwave food is like. It just doesn't digest.
So if you would eat microwave food for a period of time, you're against it, yeah. Because if you would eat it for a longer period of time, it might your body doesn't get the nutrients it needs, does it?
You don't get any nutrients. I mean, all you're getting is like denatured, kind of rubbery food-like substance is what you're getting.
Yeah.
It's not. Okay. I never ever. I'll eat microwave food sometimes, but I never consider it food. You know, it's like a placeholder for your stomach if there's nothing else there. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
But okay. I never count it as real food. Yeah.
No.
And I'll
only
eat it if there's absolutely nothing else. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I understand. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, good. So great news about your daughter, too. And we'll see you in Kiama also, won't we?
Yes, we will. I'm really looking forward to it. So, yeah, I'm going to see everyone there.
Sure. No, we always have a good time there. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, John.
Take care, Marilyn. Okay.
Bye. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
So let's, I just want to bring Shannon in, and she still has a whole bunch of questions that people are asking from the webinars. So maybe we can have just a quick chat with her. And if you have any questions in the meantime, you can press one and we can have a chat.
Hi, John.
Hey, Shannon, how you doing?
Well, pretty well, thank you. It's very hot over here today.
That's right. I heard it's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it feels like summer's here all over again. First question is from Jane, who's looking to lose 30-plus kilograms. But first she has to find the ability to allow herself to. She has all the information she needs, but she can't seem to get off her bum and use it. She's looking for tips on getting motivated.
See, for me, the tip is always to start with the visualizations. That's why we created the evening visualization. Basically, it's just because it's the easiest thing in the world. All you do is you press the button as you're going to sleep at night. But what happens is, as you get into a deeper and deeper sleep, that we make suggestions that will help you feel safer, reduce stress, crave healthier foods, have more energy, and create this kind of positive momentum in your life. So that's always the place to start, is while you're sleeping. Do the visualization while you're sleeping. Do it every night for a month. Go, as soon as you go to sleep, press the button, and it'll all start to kick in and happen. And all the other things will happen from there. You'll get the motivation. You'll end up going to the health food store and buying some healthy things. You'll have a healthy breakfast. You'll have a smoothie. Everything will go from there, but that's the place to start.
Yeah. Okay. Candace is asking for examples of positive statements that you repeated to yourself during your weight loss journey.
Okay, so I always talk about something that I call power words. And power words are just one or two statements that you use when you're in a meditative state, the deep visualization state, which consciousness researchers call the alpha and the theta state, and we call smart mode. And you can tell when you're in that state because you're sitting up maybe and you're not really moving, you're not fidgeting, you're in a calm, relaxed place. And you can just imagine every cell of your body saying at the same time. That's typically the way we do these power statements. So they're like affirmations, but they're affirmations when you're in a really powerful, programmable place, and you're combining it with a visualization. And the visualization is you imagine every cell of your body saying this at the same time. So one really, really important one across the board for everyone. Everybody needs to feel safe. And if you don't feel safe, sometimes it can cause weight gain. So just the first word is safe. Just imagine every cell of your body. There's 60, 70 trillion cells in your body. So just imagine every cell of your body like a concert saying at the same time the words safe, safe, safe. And then we all want to feel loved and supported. So love, love, love. Support. And then what will typically happen when you're in this place is the words will come to you. You know, like forgiveness will come to you. Release will come to you. Let go will come to you. Fit, effortlessly fit. All these different, whatever words, whatever things you need to work on, those words will just come to you automatically when you're in that state. And it's a really good thing to do after you do the morning visualization. So you do the morning visualization and you're in a deep state, and then you do some select power words that you need to work on, whatever it is that you feel you need to work on. And then more and more words will come to you. But always it's a good kind of habit that to finish each visualization with some power words. Really good question. Thanks for that. Okay. What else, Sharon?
Question is from Monica. Do you have any advice about how to deal with extremely negative family members?
Yeah. Okay. So negative family members, there's a difference between negative family members in your house and negative family members that are not in your house. So if they're in your house, it becomes a boundary issue. And boundary issues mean that you need to develop stronger boundaries. So a really good visualization is a safe and protective visualization. So that's a good one. If they're not in your house, and they're just negative, then one if you're in contact with them a lot, a good visualization to do is at the end of your visualization, imagine yourself being around them and feeling lots of love and safety and support coming to you from all over the universe. Like sometimes in some of the visualizations we do, there's this ocean of energy. Just imagine this ocean of light and love around you, supporting you while you're around that person, and you're open, smiling, confident. Maybe all that extra love and energy is going over to them, and they're changing. And you, in this vision, are kind of coming together in a happier place. And what you're doing is you're sort of rehearsing a scenario so that when you're in real life, your body's not going to get tense. And that's going to help a lot from a weight perspective. It's just that tense, fearful feeling that causes the problem. So that's a really good visualization to do. Okay. Any other questions for Shan?
Leander is interested to find out about how many people are chronic under-eaters as dieting slows down your metabolism and can create thyroid dysfunction and the yo-yo syndrome. Lots of people overeat due to stress, but there are many who don't eat enough and still can't lose weight. How common is that?
Well, I don't think the term is under-eating. So if somebody has a weight problem and they're not eating that much, I don't think that the problem is under-eating. I just think that the problem is a hormonal one that's usually triggered by some sort of chronic stress overworking your immune system, which then kind of taxes your thyroid and causes an underactive thyroid. So you're still focusing it from the same direction, which is dealing with the stresses that are overworking your immune system. And the stresses that overwork your immune system are typically mental and emotional stresses, as well as the stresses of processed food and having a compromised digestive system. So improving your pretty much everything we talk about in terms of improving your digestion, getting more live foods, and dealing with chronic daily stresses through visualization will help auto-regulate that system so that your thyroid is functioning better and it becomes much easier to lose weight.
Yeah. Okay. And related to that under-eating, Jana asks, is it better to eat in the morning even if I'm not hungry?
Yeah, all right. That's a common question. I do talk about how important it is to eat in the morning. Now, but what happens at a certain point in this process, especially if you're in the case study, is that after a couple of months, you might not be that hungry anymore because your body really wants to let go of some weight. Now, when that happens, it's probably not a good idea to force yourself to eat. So this is how you know. So if you're not hungry in the morning and you don't eat, what you want to pay attention to is what happens when you are hungry. So when you are hungry, do you need a pizza, chips, candy bar, any type of junk food because your blood sugar has just gone too low and you haven't managed it well? That's not a good thing. If that's what's happening, then, yeah, you do need to eat your breakfast even if you're not hungry. But if when you are hungry, it comes on slow, not sudden, and that's an important point. So if it comes on slowly and you're able to make a salad and take your time preparing food and eat some healthy things and maybe make a juice or go to get a juice, you're able to do all these things and sit down and have a nice, relaxed meal, you're perfect. Then if that's the case, eat when you want. All the rules are out the window for you because your body wants to lose weight and it knows how to lose weight. Leave it alone. And it's an important distinction. So if you can try it and make that distinction, understand where you're coming from, you'll be able to answer for yourself whether or not it's important for you to eat breakfast and eat frequently or just let yourself self-regulate. Really, really good question. Thanks for that, Shan.
Yeah. No worries. Okay. Kate wants to know, how do you go from having it all bad food to having it all good food?
That's a transition, by focusing on adding the good foods as much as possible and de-emphasizing the bad foods. Don't worry about them. Make sure you're getting the green juices. Make sure you're making everything into a salad. If you want a pizza, for example, and I do this all the time, get a massive pizza with all the good toppings, get a huge salad, and take all the cheese and all the toppings and put it in the salad. Yeah, because it's the bread that's going to cause the majority of the problems there, and there's no nutrients in that. So you're making a transition that way. So the transition always comes from staying focused on the positive, staying focused on adding the healthy foods. If you're focused on adding the healthy foods, the other ones will drop away, especially if you're dealing with the other issues, the stress-related issues that are causing the problem in the first place. So, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions for us?
I've got one along the get in or get eaten about using intensity in exercise to change your biochemistry. Can you please explain what changes occur in our biochemistry?
So the idea is doing exercise according to what I call the get thin or get eaten principle. So we talk a lot about the fat programs in the Gaber method. And the fat programs are these survival programs that cause us to gain weight. Originally, we inherited these programs to protect us against cold weather and famines, and we all know this. So if you were in a famine, if it was cold weather, you'd have this kind of chronic stress that would cause all of these different hormonal changes that would make you want to eat more and be kind of lethargic. Specifically, those hormonal changes relate to certain hormones like leptin and insulin. I don't want to go too much into the hormones, but it causes this cellular thing called leptin resistance, where your cells stop listening to the hormone leptin, and that causes you to gain weight. Well, the get thin or get eaten type of exercise is based on the theory that you've got this other program in your body called the get thin or get eaten adaptation, and that's there not to protect you from famines and cold weather. That's there to protect you against tigers and predators. So if you were living in an environment where there were tigers and you had to run away super fast, right? You're going to run for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, as fast as you can. It's life or death. And either you survive or you don't. Now, that type of stress is very quick. Obviously, it's very, very intense, but it's a stress. But it's a stress that causes a different cascade of chemical events in your body than the stress of famine or cold weather. It's a stress that actually causes your brain to become and your body to become more sensitive. The cells of your body become more sensitive to leptin, which changes everything because leptin is the hormone that tells your body how fat you are, basically. So if you're sensitive to it, your cells are sensitive to that hormone. It's like your cells are saying, oh, my God, we're so fat, we're so fat. And then you do all these, your brain does all these changes so that you're not that hungry and your metabolism speeds up. If you're insensitive to the hormone leptin, if you're resistant to it, you're not listening, and you'd be fat and fat, and your brain's just not listening. And that's what happens in the fat programs. When you do this type of exercise called the get thin or get eaten type of exercise, the intensity exercise, then you have this scenario where your brain is listening and it's saying, get rid of fat, get rid of fat. And that causes a lot of hormonal changes so that you're just not that hungry, your metabolism speeds up, and you burn fat very efficiently. The beauty of that type of exercise is you don't have to do it an hour a day, 7 days a week. You do it a couple of minutes, maybe 5 minutes, a couple of times a week. And if you combine it with a visualization where you're running away from a tiger, if you combine all those elements, really, really effective way of tapping into this survival adaptation to once again get your body to want to be thin. You're working with your body, basically, not fighting. And that's the whole process, is how do you work with your body? How do you get your body to want to be thin? It's a really, really good way to do that. So, again, really good question, Chen. You got some good ones tonight. What else you got for me? Anything?
I've got a couple more on exercise. Jeff is asking if when you were around 400 pounds, were you doing high-intensity training? At what point did you start exercising?
So what I did was after I had lost probably about 50 or 60 pounds, I started exercising. So that would have been after 6 months I started exercising. And what I used to do is as soon as I woke up, when I was still half asleep, I'd get on a stationary bike and I just pedal for 5 minutes, real, real relaxed. And that woke me up and then my blood was flowing. And then for another 5 minutes, I'd ride the bike where every couple of minutes for about 10 seconds, I'd sprint. So, yeah, I started doing that periodic high-intensity type of workout then. So then I have that over a 5-minute period, maybe I do 3 or 4 sprints that were 10, 20 seconds each, really full out. And then I do about 5 minutes of upper body strength training. And that was my workout. And I did that 3 to 4 times a week. Either I did it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or I did it Monday, Tuesday, rested Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that was my workout for about a year until I lost another 100 pounds. And then I started riding my all-terrain bike outdoors. And that was a lot of fun. And I loved doing that. And that propelled me to the next level. So that's what happened. You want to ask another question, Shane?
Okay. One more on exercise from Tony. Wanting to know, once you've lost the excess weight, are you able to resume longer workouts, or will that just turn the fat programs back on again?
All right. So Tony's worried. It's kind of a subtle question. Tony's worried about. Tony is in a unique or a different situation than most people. He actually wants to exercise more, but he doesn't want to cause a problem where he's overtraining. So the signs of overtraining, because this is what we're talking about, and this is really the essence of Tony's question. Now, there's no absolute right or wrong answer, Tony, for this question. The essence of it, though, is that you know when you're overtraining. And the way you know when you're overtraining is that you are not looking forward to your workouts at all. You do not have energy. You feel lethargic. And whereas previously you didn't. Now, some people listening right now say, hey, I feel that way right now. But that's not because you're overtraining. That's just because the fat switch might still be on, and that's going to make you feel that way. But let's say you're in this place where you're exercising 3-4 times a week. You're losing weight. You got lots of energy. And then all of a sudden, you take it up to 4 times a week, 5 times a week, 6 times a week, whatever. And now all of a sudden you don't feel like working out. You don't have that same energy. If that's the case, you're overtraining. And so what I do usually, what I tell people is if you want to work out, some people want to work out 7 days a week, not 7 workouts. I'd say take those 7 workouts and do them over 4 days. And this is, again, this is for people who really, really want to do a lot of exercise. Take those 7 workouts, do them over 4 days. Or 3 days even, so you're exercising twice a day on the exercise days, but at least you're resting on the other days. You want to have 2 to 3 at least. Okay, am I on? Okay, Shannon, are you there?
John, can you hear me? We've got you back.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
I don't know why we're having technical problems today. Blog Talk's got this thing happening at the moment where we're getting cut out, so I don't know what that's about. We'll have to look into it. Apologies to everyone. But anyway, getting back to overtraining, and then we'll just end it at that, is that it's better to have solid rest days to give your muscles a chance to recuperate and regenerate. And then you can do the same number of workouts. If you're really, really enthusiastic, you do the same number of workouts, just do them on less days. But give yourself at least 2 to 3 rest days a week. And you shouldn't have a problem. So, Shai, I think that's going to be it for now. Say, if you have more questions, then we can answer them either on the forum or on the next call. In the meantime, if anybody listening, if you have any other questions for me, you know my office hours. Call in and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you. And congratulations on everyone that's doing so well. And look forward to speaking to you with you real soon. So keep up the great work, everyone. And take care. Thanks.
Hey, John.